I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about Right Fit, a pilot program aimed at putting Indianapolis students on the path to healthier lives. The Indianapolis Indians, law enforcement, and other partners are working together on the pilot. We'll talk about what the program, how the program got started and what it hopes to accomplish. My guests are John Leiter, Executive Director of Right Fit, Mary Seifert, Indianapolis Public School 96 Principal, and Cal Burleson, Vice President of the Indianapolis Indians. To join the conversation, please call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, Director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about Right Fit. It is a new 18-week pilot initiative that's supported by the Indianapolis Indians, area law enforcement, some other partners, and its aim is at providing, you know, some important services to students here in the Indianapolis area. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are John Leiter. He is Executive Director of Right Fit. Mary Seifert, she is Indianapolis Public School number 96 Principal. And Cal Burleson, Vice President of the Indianapolis Indians. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you. Good to be with you today.
Hi, John.
It's good to have you here. So, John, I'm going to start with you. Why don't you tell me what Right Fit is?
Well, it's a pilot project, as you said. It's an after-school project with elementary-age students, grades K through 6. And it combines lots of different things that we hope enhance the quality of life in the school and in the community. Specifically, it has a period where teachers and volunteers work with the students, getting homework started and some academic encouragement. It has a period of fun physical activity, and it kind of plays off a lot of the things you hear about the Play 60 from the NFL, assuring that there's good physical activity. And the final part is it includes a full nutritious dinner, then transportation home. All of this wrapped around participation of Central Indiana public safety officers. So we have people from the Indianapolis Police Department, Fire Department, Emergency Medical Service, State Police, the Indianapolis Public Schools Police, and the National Guard, interacting with the kids through all of those elements of the day.
How did you come up with the name Right Fit?
lots of brainstorming and then checking the registration of names that were already taken so we didn't violate anybody's copyright nor so we could get it copywritten. So it took lots of different ideas and lots of brainstorming.
So, Mary, tell me about why this is needed, why it's important.
Well, in the school that I serve, we have 85% Latino population, and homework's very difficult for our families as they're not always fluent in the English language. So having the opportunity for our teachers and volunteers to interact and help our students develop those skills in literacy and math is very critical. And also just engaging in the physical activity, and they have somewhere fun to go after school, and they're not out in the neighborhoods. So that's been the two critical components for us. And also the third meal, having dinner at school 3 days a week is wonderful. The kids enjoy it, and they just talk all the time how wonderful the dinner is.
Cal, how did the Indians get involved in this?
Well, for me, I guess it goes back to when I was participating in a program called Common Goal. It was designed to raise the graduation rates at Indianapolis area public schools, I should say. And I was participating at Tech High School, and the idea was you stayed with a group of students for 3 or 4 years and see if you could have an impact. And I remember a conversation I had with one young lady in particular who had kind of been a marginal student, but in one particular class she had raised her grade from a D to a B+, and I asked her how she did that. She said she had some tutoring after school. So I said, well, that was good, and we talked about that a little bit. And then I asked her, well, if you had some luck with the tutoring in that particular class, did you think about, you know, trying that with some of the other classes? And she said, well, she did, but this was the one that she really wanted to go to. And so I asked her, why was that? And it was a little challenging to get the answer out of her, but really what it was is that's where she got dinner. And so that was kind of a little bit of a cold shower for me, I guess, learning that. And another conversation I had with a different young lady where we were to ask the students the question if they had the choice of going to a school the next day where they would feel safe or where their friends were, what would they choose? You know, for me, that's an easy one. I'd go where my friends were. But she gave me a different answer. She said she would want to go where she felt safe. So that kind of stuck with me. And I guess another thing that I have come to learn, which, you know, again, a lot of other people are already aware of it, but, you know, when we have one of those rare snow days at Indianapolis Public Schools, well, some of the buses still run, and they take them to designated schools, the kids to designated schools, so they can eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, some things there as background. And then I started attending some of the briefings that Troy Riggs was offering out at the East Side Center here.
Was just on the show here a couple of days
ago. I heard his remarks. Great guy. And this was back in the summer of 15 when he was still public safety director. And here was a guy who recognized that there was a need to that keeping order in a community was a lot more than just locking up bad people, okay? You had to think about other root causes. And so we began to talk about things that, you know, hunger in the neighborhood. And I am also on a board called Jump In for Healthy Kids, trying to fight childhood obesity. And would there be a way that we could combine those things? And he offered, well, you know, maybe if we could put some police officers in the schools and try to provide opportunities for building positive relationships. So I don't know if he really knew what he was starting in me at that point. I probably didn't either. But we began to talk to some potential folks. Remember talking to Jennifer Vigran at Second Helpings and Cindy Huber when she was heading up Gleaners, and Crystal Struben with At Your Schools. And, you know, is this something we could try out in IPS? And they said, well, Cal, we'll try and help you. But, you know, don't try to take on the whole school system. Think about maybe a pilot program with a few schools. So talk to some other potential partners from the police department and the fire department and a few folks who might be able to help us from a sponsorship perspective. And we got quite a bit of encouragement about it. And I had wanted to talk to a number of potential partners, so I wasn't going to Dr. Farabee with just Cal's crazy idea to do all these different things. That we had a bit of a circle built. But Mary Ann Sullivan got me an appointment. We went and saw him and explained the program to him. And he thought it had some good potential. But he also said, Cal, you're going to have a lot of spinning plates with this one, a lot of variables. So for it to work, we're going to need a principal who wants the program. So let me put it out to the principals, and we'll see who might be interested. And he did that, and we got positive responses from five elementary schools and two high schools. Through several conversations we'd been having with public safety in the intervening time, we got some encouragement to probably start with the elementary schools. So we sent, polite letters back to the high schools that said that, you know, we're going to start with the elementary schools. And then we continued to talk to some potential partners and sponsors. And then in March of last year, we got the great news from IPS that they would provide dinner and transportation home for any kid in any after-school program at three IPS elementary schools. Of course, five had applied. Mm-hmm. By this time, we had also been talking with Gina Koontz Fleming with the Archdiocese about Holy Angels School to see if maybe we could include them as well. So now throw it back to the calendar. Now it's the spring of 16, and we're talking about a program starting in January of 17. Well, we felt we had to make sure that the same principals were going to be at the same schools. So once we found that out, then we had to choose from among the five, choose three. So we picked schools that, again, still wanted the program, and really all five of them did. But we have some diversity in the program, okay? School 46 is definitely a mixed cultural school. 63 is dominant African-American, and 96, as Mary mentioned, is a dominant Hispanic school. So those are the three that we selected, and we're in week six now of an 18-week program. We're going to run for 9 weeks in a row, then take about 4 weeks off around spring break, and then crank it up for nine more weeks.
We are talking about Right Fit. It's a new pilot initiative to really promote healthier living and create some stability and opportunities for young people here in Indianapolis. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Mary, one of the points Cal made about the importance of the meal here. And it's something that is often not brought up in our discussions about education and about learning outcomes. I know years ago I volunteered at IPS School 44, which is at 21st and Sugar Grove, if I remember correctly. And it was a school that at the time, 95% of the students, I think, were on free or reduced breakfast and lunch. May have changed since then. I haven't tracked it. But one of the most powerful memories of that experience volunteering there was seeing those kids after there'd been a break, even if it was like Thanksgiving or the Christmas holiday break or spring break or something like that, how desperate they were to get to the cafeteria, that they were just really, really hungry. How important is the fact that you were feeding these kids as part of this experience?
It's a huge part of the program and experience for our children. We have other partnerships with Gleaners where we send backpacks home for kids on the weekend. We also have the Wineskin Ministry, who's hosting a program, sending fresh fruits and vegetables home with some of our students. But having three nights a week where students have dinner is just amazing for our kids because they do come back from the weekend hungry. And we try to keep all the leftovers and everything we can possible so they have all the food that they need to get through the school week.
What prompted you? I mean, clearly this was a volunteer process to throw up your hand and say, oh, yeah, I want my school involved. And what was it that was so appealing about this?
Well, when I look at the clientele that we serve and the needs of our students and our families, it was just an opportunity I couldn't pass up. It's what's best for kids.
John, how did you go about picking the four schools that you were going to pilot with?
Well,
because it sounds like there were more applicants than you were able to serve.
Yeah, there were. And we tried to go to the schools with greatest needs. We were dealing with a whole series of reports that we got from the interested principals. And the schools that we ended up in have participation in the free and reduced lunch. The kids who qualify, the lowest is 82%, mm-hmm. The highest is 100. And so we tried to take the schools that had the greatest need, though that's a pretty marginal cut in the schools that we were talking about. But that was the first part. The second part is we tried to have a little geographic alignment. And we're on the near west side, which makes it a bit easier for our volunteers to get from place to place. We thought if we were all across the geography of IPS, it just complicated the logistics of a pilot program. So while we wish to move this program forward, pending the success of the pilot, we wanted to simplify the logistics as much as possible. The third part is similar size schools, again, thinking about running a pilot project, and schools that have a little bit different population in each school. So we could take what did we learn in any place and apply it to all. So it's kind of how we ended up, and it's working for us so far.
We're talking about Right Fit, a new initiative to help Indianapolis school children. My guests are John Leiter, Executive Director of Right Fit, Mary Seifert, IPS number 96 principal, and Cal Burleson, Vice President of the Indianapolis Indians. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, Director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about Right Fit. It's a new initiative that includes the Indianapolis Indians, area law enforcement, some other partners to provide tutoring, nutritional education, exercise, dinner, and transportation for students at four Indianapolis high schools. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are John Leiter. He's Executive Director of Right Fit. Mary Seifert, she is Principal at Indianapolis Public School number 96. And Cal Burleson, who is Vice President of the Indianapolis Indians. Okay, so we've talked about how these schools were selected. Let's talk a little bit about what we hope these kids will get out of this experience, how we want them to benefit. Cal, I'm going to let you go first on that one.
Well, thank you, John. I think at the end of the day, it's really all about pride and hope and trying to instill a sense in these young people that there are other folks in the community who care about them, okay? It's very important to our program to have volunteers. We need them to operate it the way we'd like to have it done. But I think it's also important that we get volunteers into the schools so that more of the community will understand a couple of things. One of those is that how challenging many of the kids have it who are in the IPS schools, but also learn a little bit about their resilience and their willingness to learn and what great kids they are. You know, they say it takes a neighborhood to raise a child. Well, IPS is in the middle of our neighborhood.
Mary, how important, and I'll go back again to my experience at 44, I found that there was a break point that, you know, the kids in the first, second, third, even up to fourth grade, were cheerful, optimistic, you know, all of that. Somewhere around fifth and sixth grade, though, you could almost, and if you talked with them, you could almost, they'd tell you pretty much, we've begun to figure it out. Even if we follow all the rules, there may not be a place out there. So how, my question is, how important is that sense of social connection and social commitment, the idea that there are people in the larger community who do care about them and what happens to them?
I think that's very critical, especially in, you know, our youth and fifth and sixth graders. Our sixth graders are at the time where they're really nervous about moving on to seventh grade, getting out of the elementary school. So they're still trying to find themselves. But having that personal connection with our public safety has been key. We have five officers that are very consistent throughout the week. Two of them are 2 days a week, and they gravitate to our older kids, making that relationship. And I think the hope I have for the program is that we will not only have an increase in attendance and academics, but an increase in positive relationships in our youth.
John, how do you go about choosing it? I'm presuming that the bulk of this is volunteer driven, right? That you bring people in and all of that. How do you go about recruiting and selecting your volunteers?
That's been a lot of the work over the last years. Particularly, Cal's been around in the community talking to people about the idea. There is an invitation to volunteer at every turn. We've worked with a lot of the great volunteer organizations and some of the organizations that already have after-school programs. And how can we connect and partner together? So you think about some of the traditional providers like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, the YMCA, Indianapolis Parks and Recreation have some terrific after-school programs. So that's a source. We've talked to all of the healthcare organizations in town about how their staff can come in and volunteer at different times. We've talked with a number of banks, civic associations, et cetera. So the invitation is there all the time. All of the schools have a real good volunteer registration system, and we ask everybody to participate in that. It includes a couple of things that we think are very important. One is an orientation to the program. So volunteers go in with a notion of what's expected of them and how they're going to participate. Following that orientation, we will try and continue to try to pair them with people who have been there before. So it's not a brand new experience. Another part of that registration is a background check, which we think is real important, particularly in working with kids. And there's a bit of another part of the orientation that talks about the safety and care of children. So the invitation is there for everybody. The registration and orientation, I think, are well organized and put volunteers in a great position to help kids in the neighborhood. I've been in the nonprofit sector for a long time and said nobody ever volunteers to be on the audit committee. What they want to be involved in is the yeah. mission and the service delivery, like your experience at School 44.
Yeah. Yeah.
The background logistics.
Often I'm the sucker who gets stuck on the audit committee.
Exactly,
but that's
okay. Exactly. Somebody gets stuck there. Yeah. But what people truly love to do is to grab that mission and carry it forward.
So I'm going to stay with you for a second.
Sure.
John, what are the roles that these what are these volunteers specifically doing with these kids?
Again, this is part of the pilot that we're working through. But in all of those phases, homework, assistance, academic encouragement, working with a small group of kids. You know, it'd be great if we could have a volunteer with every 6 to 10 kids and volunteers who are there with some consistency. It'd be wonderful if we could get people to come every day, 3 days a week. That's probably never going to happen. But if the students start to see a consistent group of people over the weeks, we think that's important for a lot of reasons because it does foster that academic encouragement. It's somebody else saying, you can really achieve whatever you put your mind to. We think that's important.
What areas do you have the hardest, are the hardest to fill with volunteers?
Well, as a new program, we're working to fill all the schools. And another group I should have brought up is we're talking to all of the universities. We think this is a great university student experience for early contact hours in education, some specific things for phys ed majors who are going into a career there. We've talked to some of the schools that have SPIA programs to help in terms of evaluation and monitoring. University organizations who have either service learning or they just want to provide service in the community. So we think over time the universities are going to be a great augment to this.
We're talking about Right Fit on No Limits today. It's an 18-week pilot that involves the Indianapolis Indians baseball team, law enforcement, and some other partners to really try to help young people at four area schools on the right path. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Marilyn, welcome to the program.
Well, I used to work with John Leiter at the American Red Cross, and
he's laughing now.
Boss. Hi, John.
Hey, Marilyn.
Good to hear from you. I would volunteer for you, but I don't live in Marion County, and I don't think I'll do that.
You can come across the Johnson County line.
I would encourage anybody else who wanted to do that to do so.
Well, thanks very much for the call and the shout-out to John. He's blushing appropriately right now. Thanks very much.
Well, good. He deserves that.
Take care.
All right. Thanks for the program.
Certainly. So, Mary, how many kids at your school have taken advantage of this, and what is it, the ones who do it, what did they have to volunteer, or did you draft them, or how did they get involved?
Well, we advertised it within our school to our kiddos. We would broadcast at lunch and just over the morning announcements and just word of mouth. We started off our first day with 70, 80 kids, and then right now we're over 50% of our school participating. So we have over 200 kids participating on a weekly every night on a weekly basis.
And I know John said that the schools range from 82% free or reduced lunch and breakfast mm-hmm. to 100%. Where does your school fall in that?
We're about 97%.
97%. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the meal is part of the appeal. Cal, I would also guess, given the fact that there are young boys involved here, that the participation of the Indians is also a bit of a draw. Do some of the players come out and help with this, or will they?
Well, we look forward to having them participate when they have opportunities once they come north, if you will. Our players do not live in central Indiana. They're basically from the Sun Belt or the Caribbean, if you will. And
which would be a good fit, though, for Mary's school.
Well, that's right. And we will have some morning games at Victory Field this year, which will, go on from 11 o'clock starts, so I hope to get some of the players out to some of the schools when the program's going on in April and May, and we see that as a good opportunity. And certainly the physical fitness is also an important component here. And Kathy Langdon, who is the athletic director at Shortridge and also has system-wide responsibilities at IPS for health and wellness, she has really served as our operations chief for Right Fit. She's the one who has organized the lesson plans, organized the physical fitness piece, and she's the one who's really done a lot of the extremely hard work in this program, and we wouldn't be where we're at without her.
So we're 6 weeks into this pilot. I'm going to ask all three of you, what are some of the lessons learned already? I'll start with Mary.
Organization has been very key in structure. We want to keep the consistency with the kids from the day to the after-school program and just have order so everyone's safe. But we've had to go back to the drawing board and revamp some groups and some structures and incorporate some board games. And so just the logistics has been constantly going to the drawing board, name tags, how do kids know where they're going to go, just the overall structure and organization at the school level has been something that we've been tweaking the last 4 to 5 weeks, and we're in a good place right now.
John, lessons learned.
Well, I'd echo what Mary says. As we started thinking about this, we thought kind of a quarter of the population in the school might participate. We're closing in on half. And so as you think about that many kids in any number of rooms, the logistics get to be real important. The logistics are important because they're staying after school, and this time of year, by the time they go home, it's dark. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to lose anybody. And so the
name tag,
it would be really bad. So the name tags, the supervision, the bus routes, all of those things have been real important. I'd say another thing that we've learned is the meals are incredibly important, and I think that's one of the real touching things to watch. If you take our geography, these are schools that really line up and are in those food deserts that you've been hearing a lot about.
And that we've done several shows.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know it intellectually, but to actually see it in action that these are kids who truly are insecure of where the next meal comes from, that has been a valuable thing. I think the final thing, and it's real early, I know, looking at trends, but there is some promise. Attendance of the participants seems to be a bit better, and the consistency of staying at school and then to Right Fit has been pretty good. So that's, I think, a real important part of this and one of the long-term goals. Can, you know, if a couple of things could happen, and you've seen this before, if attendance was better and if the turnover in classrooms was reduced, what do we think the odds are that academic achievement goes up? Same kids working together with the same teacher through a full year, I think, is a real long-term goal of this program.
Cal, what are the lessons learned from your perspective?
Oh, I guess there have been a lot of things that I've had the opportunity to observe, and one of the greatest is that the principals did not take on this program to get a check mark next to their name. They did it because they love their kids, and they see Right Fit as a good opportunity to improve their lives. Mary, Karen Lynn at 46, and Paul Worth at 63. I've had the opportunity to go to the schools, and I can see how much that they really care about the kids, and same with Matt Goddard at Holy Angels. So that's one part of it for me. I guess another part of it is that, you know, I didn't grow up in a school like this. I went to an all-white suburb out of Akron, Ohio, and in Talmadge, Ohio, and when it came to relationships with public safety, well, the chief of police lived next door, and we played basketball in his driveway. And these kids are not growing up in that kind of an environment. And I like to think of it, it's a bit like a mission trip almost. Mm-hmm. You know, you enter into one of those kind of situations thinking maybe that you'll be able to help somebody. And hopefully you'll be able to do that. But usually what happens is you get a little bit torn up on the inside, you learn a little something, and then maybe you can get inspired to kind of spread the word about what needs to be done, what should be done, and you know, do it out of love.
So, John, you've talked about the meals, the transportation. There are logistical challenges. What is the budget for this, and where does the money come from?
you can send your check or money order immediately.
Well, that's your opportunity to make a pitch.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay.
So for the pilot project, all in, total expenses, about $600,000. About $300,000 of that are the meals, which is funded through federal sources that come directly to the schools. So it's just harnessing some resources that are already there. The transportation round number, again, is about $100,000. And again, those are contracts that exist and funding that is in place. What we need to come up with is about $200,000 that goes for a couple of things. We have teachers on stipend, people who know the rules, the protocol, can answer questions for volunteers. So we pay some teachers to be there. Again, it's sort of that safety and logistics. We hope to make contributions to the public safety foundations. The officers, the firefighters, the National Guard are there in their role in public safety, but we hope to give them something that recognizes their work, provides more training, equipment, and that sort of thing to assure that they can continue to join us. So,
I'll tell you what, why don't we pick this up on the other side? I will bring you right back to this point, I promise. We're talking about Right Fit on No Limits today. My guests are John Leiter, Mary Seifert, and Cal Burleson. I am John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about Right Fit. It's a new pilot initiative that is supported by the Indianapolis Indians and area law enforcement, some other partners, to provide tutoring, nutritional education, exercise, dinner, and transportations for students at four Indianapolis schools. My guests are John Leiter, who is executive director of Right Fit, Mary Seifert, who is principal at IPS number 96, which is one of the schools that's taking part in Right Fit, and Cal Burleson, who is vice president of the Indianapolis Indians. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI, or you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. And if you go to Facebook to look for us, you're going to find some video of Right Fit in action at one of the schools. So we were talking about costs and really how people could plug in if they want to help. And I'm assuming you're set up as a 501c3, which means it's tax deductible, right?
Yeah, we had to go that route. So there's always this discussion that nonprofits should work together, and we are. Mm-hmm. But in litigious 21st century society, you can't hide a nonprofit within another. So we did have to go and form a 501c3. Our goal is to keep our administrative costs really low. But, you know, we've had to provide liability insurance and some of those accounting services and that kind of thing. So that, too, is part of our expense package. We're doing pretty well in terms of completing the pilot project, but we're heading into that April to July period where we're really going to be taking this thing apart, looking at all the results and doing a full analysis of what did we learn, how did the kids do, how did our volunteers respond, how did the public safety folks enjoy their experience, and then really looking at a full year's participation in these schools again. In a really good world, we would expand this to the two schools that were interested and were not able to join the pilot project. Mm-hmm. So we're assuming success. We're looking toward a growth program so that next year our cash requirement that we need to raise is going to be on the order of $550,000 to $600,000. So this is a place where people can make contributions.
If they want to do that, how do they go about it?
We can take checks right now, and you can make a check out to Right Fit and mail it to, actually at Shortridge High School. We have a small office there, 3401 North Meridian, 46208, and to the attention of Kathy Langdon. That's how we've set up our mailbox there. Okay. So there's an ability to do a contribution through checks. We're building the website and working our banking relationship and accounting, so we should be able to take online donations within the next 90 days or so. Again, trying to get all our friends together to do this really efficiently with lots of control and almost no cost. So we're not quite there yet.
So I'm going to ask, what is a pilot is a way of testing,
right,
in effect, a thesis. And you've talked about how maybe the next stage would be to include the two other schools that wanted to be part with an idea perhaps of expanding this,
right,
even beyond that. What's success going to look at? You're all three of this looking at it from a different point of view, so you're all going to have different answers. I get that, but I want to see what it is. Mary, what's success going to look like for you?
At the school level, our kids participated in a fitness gram, so we're going to reassess their physical activity, and that's the physical component. We're looking at it, too, at our attendance rates increasing as a school for those kiddos that are participating. Also, academics, looking at homework completion and how they perform on the standardized tests.
Cal, what's success going to look like from your perspective?
Well, we'd like to see the enthusiasm for the program continue, I think, amongst the kids and amongst the principals, and also to see an increasing level of folks coming in to volunteer. Again, when you're in a pilot, you've kind of got to prove yourself, okay? And I think that we're taking some significant steps in that direction. And then we'll be able to share results with some of the significant funders in Central Indiana and see if we can get them on board to as we work towards sustaining the program. So that's really what's kind of in my heart about it. Is increasing our volunteer participation to be able to share that message with potential funders so that we can keep this program moving forward in the direction that we'd like to, because the people who are participating in it really enjoy it and really see some value. We know that we need to do some measuring, and as Mary was discussing, that's what we plan to do and be able to show some results. It's not going to be with a scientific certainty of a doctoral study, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a pilot program, but we think we'll be able to show some progress.
Mm-hmm. John?
I think it really gets to collaboration. We got a great agreement with the Indianapolis Public Schools that not just the participants in Right Fit, but any after-school program can participate in the meal and transportation. So many groups are doing so many good things, and we probably can't all be everywhere. But if we can find some common direction, how we complement one another to the benefit of kids and neighborhoods, I think that is what success looks like. I go back to this often, and it is the rate of turnover in a classroom. The kids don't go away. They just go from neighborhood to neighborhood, from house to house. And that's a tough way to live. If through collaboration and good programming, we can build an encouragement for kids to stay in one place and benefit from all of those things that are offered from Right Fit and many others, I think that's what success looks like in this community.
So, Mary, I'm going to throw, I mean, is this kind of the wave of the future for education? Because these kinds of partnerships in many ways would have been unheard of, say, 40 years ago in schools. It's a very different world now, though. And, you know, are we looking at now really what you're combining to some degree, the for-profit, the not-for-profit, and, you know, the government structures of our society together to try to solve these problems? Is that what it's going to take?
I think it is. We have to look at the whole child and how can we provide the best opportunity for each child to become productive citizens in our society. And I think partnering with the nonprofit, with public safety, is very, very critical in our youth today.
John, do you think this is the wave?
Yeah, I mean it's sort of back to the future. It truly is a volunteer effort. It's building the community. Directionally, it's something I think we all agree on. The community is better served when it's better educated. You talk about workforce development. You know, it is. It takes all of these elements to move forward. We talked a little bit about career building at the very outset of the program. So our public safety folks aren't in, you know, actively recruiting second graders to become EMTs.
Yeah.
But it's a conversation that goes on. So one day I was watching just during dinner, and one of the firefighters was explaining the elements on the badge and what they meant. And the kids were fascinated by that. But it does start to open a door, open a thought that might not have been there before. Somebody who makes that jump from a sixth grader successfully to middle school and then graduates from high school is 6 months away from being an emergency medical technician. So, you know, 10 years from being one of the right fit participants to being one of our public safety officers in Indianapolis is a gateway that's opened, an opportunity explained, and it gives hope.
Cal, is this I'm assuming you agree with the comments that have been made so far, so I'm going to reframe the question a little bit for you. Are these the kinds of, speaking for the Indians, are these the kinds of opportunities then that increasingly the Indians are going to look for as ways to make, you know, their contributions through philanthropy to the community?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you, John. No, we're examining our philosophies on philanthropy currently, but one of the things that we like about Right Fit is that it does pertain to youth. You know, we have a Knot Hole Club that offers a season pass to kids for $17. We're strong supporters of the RBI program. And things that are beneficial for kids, we think helps to make Indianapolis a better place to live. I'm kind of an Indianapolis chamber guy in that regard, okay, in terms of the things that we need to do to improve our community. We have a focus on IPS. We have a focus on mass transit. And those kind of things are important for the improvement of Indianapolis. And in terms of our success, if you will, I think we'll be successful kind of for the same reason maybe that other enterprises are successful. If people demand us, okay, mm-hmm. if people want us, then we'll find ways and means to grow. We'll be able to take care of the details if there's a demand from students and from parents for Right Fit.
So walk me through. Let's assume success here. And, you know, this program has, if not all the outcomes you want, at least enough of them to justify expansion. What would it take to do this for all the schools in the Indianapolis area? I mean, it's a, you know, 600,000 strikes me as a pretty good lift as it is,
number,
but I'm
yeah.
guessing, are there economies of scale, John, that will occur there? Or if half the budget's food, I'm assuming
yeah.
you can't give them smaller portions.
No,
make it work. So.
No. That's not, you know, that's a federal program. So long term, I think you're absolutely right. This is a program that you can certainly look across Marion County and see similar demographics beyond the Indianapolis geography, Indianapolis public school geography. So I think the long-term future is how do you bring more school corporations and partners together? How do you take the lessons learned and create the playbook that can be implemented in any community school? At that point, the school, I think, can become more the service provider using those federal funds for meals, transportation, employing some of their funds for teacher stipends, or maybe that becomes what we fund in the future. But Right Fit becomes more of a convening organization that brings experts from around the community. So how do experts work in the pilot program? The principals have pretty well designed this thing. Mm-hmm. We took a couple of ideas to them, and they said—
They rolled their eyes at that.
They rolled their eyes at a lot of it and said, yeah. Hey, you don't quite— But those principals working together in schools serving different communities have refined this program already. Some of the things Mary talked about, just managing the logistics, go from school to school, but they're not done in the same way. So I think what Right Fit can do over time is create best practices, create some linkages in the different schools, create partnerships with other organizations. Because you're right, you can't keep making this, you know, fly at a clip of $600,000 for 500 kids. Lots of people can participate, and that's the way you drive down some of the cost. I keep playing the numbers back and forth. You can do a lot of stuff with incremental costs. But in the end, it goes back to the future. It is people in neighborhoods coming together because they identify something they want to do and people demand it.
So, Mary, the one voice we haven't heard in all of this, and I understand because they're all in school today, is the voice of the kids who are taking part. Could you channel that a little bit and tell me, I mean, I'm assuming the kids have talked with you about why they do this, since they're not required. It's a volunteer thing. What do they say they like about it or that they get out of it?
Well, I can take you back to the first week when we were getting kids on a daily basis. And finally, we had to say, okay, you can start the next week. Kids would cry. I want to come to RIFET. I want to come to RIFET. I'm like, honey, you can come next week. We have to get you a bus. It's going to take some time. Because, I mean, it was just permission slips were coming in 20, 30 a day the first week once we started. But they like the time just to be social with their friends and just a relaxing atmosphere where it's safe. They love interacting with the adults within the public safety. We have the Girl Scouts there. We have the Blended Church, who is a partner of mine. I have Burbuff high school kids doing community service hours. I have 8 or 9 of them each night of the week. And it's just great for the kids to see have that interaction. They're just happy to be there.
Is there anyone who said, I don't want to come after doing it? Nobody's dropped?
The little ones, the babies, the kindergartners, sometimes they miss their mommies. Yeah. And so they may only come one night a week, but they still come. But 3 nights was a little too much.
So, John, we're getting really, really close on time here.
Okay.
I want to give you one last chance. If people do want to support this initiative,
yes,
and they want to make a contribution, again, how can they go about doing that?
Check is the easiest way. Made out to RIFET. The address is Shortridge High School, 3401 North Meridian, 46208. Attention, Kathy Langdon.
Attention, Kathy Langdon. And, have you gotten a fair amount of contribution so far? Or is this?
We funded the pilot.
Okay.
But we're working next year.
You're moving onto the next challenge. Well, I'd like to thank all three of you for what has been a fun and enlightening conversation. I'd like to thank my guests, John Leiter. He is executive director of RIFET. Mary Seifert, who is principal of Indianapolis Public School number 96, and Cal Burleson, vice president of the Indianapolis Indians. I've enjoyed talking with all three of you. Also like to thank our listeners for listening in and spending this time with us. I am John Krall. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Cherzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.